Welcome to the Who's Counting podcast with Cleta Mitchell, the podcast about America's elections. Hello, welcome to this episode of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. This is a podcast about all things having to do with elections, how elections are supposed to be run, how sometimes they're not run the way they're supposed to be, and what we as citizens and patriots can do to make sure that our elections are fair and honest. And today we're very fortunate to have with us a special guest coming to us from Tarrant County, Texas. That would be Fort Worth for those of you who are not knowledgeable about the counties in Texas. And we are welcoming Tim O'Hare, who is the county judge in Tarrant County, Texas. And we're so happy to have you on with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
It is good to be here. Thank you for having me, Cleta.
So let's introduce you a little bit about your background to our audience. Tell everybody sort of a little bit about your background, and then tell us about the position that you now hold as county judge of Tarrant County, Texas.
Yeah, the position is kind of named strange for folks around the country. Most people don't know what it is. So I'm married to my wife, Kristen. We have four daughters. I am a lawyer and a real estate investor. That's what I've done for a living. I've never had a paid political position until now. And I was elected the county judge of Tarrant County, which is the third largest county in the state of Texas. It's the 15th largest county in the United States. We have a population of over 2.1 million people, which is more than, I think, 14 states in the United States. So it's a big county.
That is a big county.
Yeah. And we are the largest, we believe, and numbers can fluctuate, but we believe we're the largest Republican county in the United States. So this county judge position, a lot of counties, states call this county executive. Basically, the county judge in Texas is the chief political executive of the county government. In some of the smaller counties, we have 254 counties in Texas. We have six that we call the big six. We're one of the big six, obviously. In those other counties, 248, the county judge is the chief presiding officer over the commissioner's court, which runs the county government, but they also do some judicial functions. They literally do dress in a robe and preside over some cases like probate and stuff. In the big six, the county judge has no actual judicial role. It's more like the governor of the county or the mayor of the county.
So it's more of an executive position.
Yes.
As opposed to judicial, but it just has a judge in the name of the title.
That's right. It dates back to 18 something another, like 65, I think.
Okay. Well, every state has these little anomalies, and right. It's always good to try to figure out what they mean. But what caught my attention, and let me ask you this, do people call you judge? Is that what they call you?
They do, yeah. I still can't get used to that, because as a lawyer, to me, a judge is somebody in a black robe behind the bench with a gavel. So yeah, Judge O'Hare is the way it's put.
Right.
You can call me Tim, yeah.
Okay. So what got my attention, Judge, is that I read a few weeks ago that you and two other officials in Tarrant County had established what I believe is the first and only election integrity task force of a local government. And since we're all about learning about elections and how elections ought to be run, I thought, I've got to talk to this man. I would like to know, tell everybody about how this came about. What is the Election Integrity Task Force of Tarrant County?
Sure. So I guess it was three people were behind it, myself, our sheriff, and our district attorney. So our sheriff has been in office for 6 years, strong law and order, good conservative, good godly man. And I am new. I mean, I started January 1, and then our district attorney started January 1. His name is Phil Sorrells. Our sheriff is Bill Wayburn. Phil Sorrells and I ran at the same time, ran in the same primary, obviously ran in the November election, the general election, and both of us campaigned on addressing election integrity. And we're not trying to tell people that the Election Integrity Task Force is the be-all, end-all, it's all taken care of, it's all solved, all good. But what it is we together came up with this idea, And I had campaigned on something called an election integrity officer, a position that I had proposed creating that would have law enforcement authority. When we got our heads together, we said, why does it have to be one person? Why can't we make it interagency? So what it is it's, I think it's two sheriff's deputies, peace officers, you know, law enforcement officers, and a couple of investigators from the sheriff's department. And then it's also a designated assistant district attorney and an investigator from the DA's office. So we created a hotline for people to call with any issues. Now, election integrity, that's a big all-encompassing word. When people hear this, they think machines and fake paper ballots, things like that. And that's certainly something that we want to know about, we would look into. But it's all sorts of things. So I had a lady that I met with, it's probably been now 5 or 6 weeks ago in my office, who was an election judge in November. And she could not clear out the voting location, the actual place where you cast your votes, of people that were disrupting, causing issues, cussing her out. So she calls elections department. Elections department doesn't have a law enforcement, you know, aspect to it. They say call Fort Worth police. Fort Worth police doesn't show up. So this is something where even something like that, an election judge is having a problem with people campaigning inside the 100-foot marker or not leaving the premises when they're told to do so. They call this number. Sheriff's deputy will be there lickety-split. This is when you suspect there's someone that is cheating in some way, shape, or form. This is for a citizen. If you've done your own investigation research and you find a location with 7 or 8 registered voters and you show up to that location and find out it's a vacant building, not a home, or there's no building there at all, it's just a vacant slab of concrete, this is something you call that number. So they had, the first week we put it out, multiple calls. There are multiple things being investigated. Of course, we don't comment on the status of investigations, but sure. It's been so far, and we're not even in an election, so far, quite a few people have called and submitted things. We fully expect that to pick up quite a bit. We have May elections for city council, mayor, school board coming up on May 6th. We expect it to pick up then. And then, of course, the next time we have a primary, which would be the next March. So it's there for people to call. We want them to call. We want them to utilize it. Lots of phone calls come in that end up being nothing. But we want people to know who are considering gaming the system, who are considering doing something illegal. We want them to know we are coming after them here in Tarrant County. We're not going to let it happen on our watch. We want people to know our elections are safe and secure. And, you know, we've been asked, well, doesn't this intimidate voters? And for the life of me, I can't understand the stupidity behind that. I don't know how anybody could be intimidated by having safe and secure elections and a place to call and someone to investigate if there's fraud. Ultimately, if it intimidates people who are trying to cheat or break the law, well, that's who we want to intimidate, but it should in no way, shape, or form intimidate registered voters who are authorized to vote in our elections.
Well, that's pretty amazing because, you know, one of the big frustrations, I've been working for the last couple of years as the senior legal fellow at the Conservative Partnership Institute, and we've been building the Election Integrity Network nationwide, which is comprised of local task forces, and then they work in state coalitions in identifying issues and problems. You mentioned something, the voter rolls. Oh my gosh. I conduct a weekly national working group on cleaning voter rolls, and I have anywhere from 140 to 170 people per week who dial in to talk about cleaning voter rolls and trying to clean the voter rolls in their counties. And, you know, you mentioned something about that people can come to. They can call in and say, here's this address with people registered, and it's not a real nobody really lives there. And then you all will actually investigate and do something about it. That's been a real problem for citizens in other parts of the country because they can't get anybody to listen to them. So that's pretty amazing. What would happen then that it would be in, someone would call in with a complaint or concern, and then that would be conveyed to the investigators, and then what?
Yeah, so when they call in, they speak directly to a sheriff's deputy. Sheriff's departments in Texas have full law enforcement authority and jurisdiction over any and all criminal laws that we have on our books in Texas. A side note, our Texas legislature is in session right now. It meets once every 2 years, And last legislative session, 2021, they made cheating on mail-in ballots much more difficult. They revised the way mail-in ballots happen. But for some strange reason, they made mail-in ballot fraud a misdemeanor instead of a felony.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those things that I think, depending on who you listen to, it slipped in without people paying attention. I mean, that's a different story altogether there. But there is, there are bills in the legislature right now that are designed to put that back to a felony, and we're hopeful those will pass. But if somebody calls into the Election Integrity Task Force, they talk directly to a sheriff's deputy. Sheriff's deputy, just like you, if you called the police about, hey, we think there's an assault down the street, you would talk to a police officer. Here it's a sheriff's deputy, but it's a police officer. They're going to take information. If they feel like they need to come out and visit with you, they will. They have an email address where you send in any documentation you have, if you have documentation, and then they start an investigation just like you would in any other scenario. And ultimately, if there's more to it and there seems like, okay, there's something there, then they'll involve the DA's office. The DA's office will look at it, obviously analyze the law, analyze the facts, and then decide whether or not to take something to a grand jury. And if you ask me when this happened, I don't know exactly, but there are currently four pending cases for election fraud in Tarrant County that our current DA is overseeing. But they were indictments from at least 2 years ago, maybe three.
Well, you know, I think I have seen some video from police video stopping a gentleman who was talking about that he'd been hired and was paid per ballot and getting people to vote who didn't really understand that they were actually casting a ballot. That's how I recall it.
You might be wondering why I'm smiling. The person that you're referring to in that police video implicated in this scheme my opponent in the November election. So I can tell you that has been investigated. The statute of limitations for any crime on that has passed. So nothing was ever done with it. But that gentleman himself did plead guilty. At least I say nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever done pursuing others implicated. But that gentleman that you referenced was pled guilty to an election crime.
Well, if I remember in that video, this gentleman who said he'd been doing these things, he said that he was working for someone, if I remember, was the chairman of the Democratic Party. And I remember now. That was your opponent, because I knew that she was running for county judge. Now that you mentioned it, I'd forgotten that. But, well, good. I'm glad you defeated her.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the voters picked the right one. So
that, I would say so. Well, that's quite a shift. Somebody's running who had actually put together a ballot, an illegal ballot harvesting scheme, running against somebody who's now created an election integrity task force. So allegedly, but yes, that's true. But that's a real win for honesty in elections on several fronts.
It's funny, when that video came out, it went nationwide. And so this was October. It was right before the November general election, and it went, and it was covered by multiple outlets who actually cover real news and cover stories. It went out all over the country, and people all over Tarrant County were talking about it. It was well known, and it was investigated, but the statute had passed.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've always said, this video, this young man is describing, and he's homeless or next to homeless. And so he's getting paid a little bit of money for every ballot he brings in. And he talked about the fact that he was getting people to sign ballots and said, if I remember correctly, that they didn't even know that they were voting or casting a ballot. And, you know, that they thought they were just updating information. And I've thought about that a lot because I do think that the victims, the real victims of ballot fraud and voting fraud and any of these operations that really prey upon the vulnerable voters, that they're the ones who are most victimized by these political schemes.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years ago, there was an independent, I would call them a think tank kind of group, probably very similar to the one that you do. And they went and did basically their own investigation, and they got mail-in ballots, not the actual who was voted for, but the envelopes that you send them in and the mm-hmm. signatures. And they kept seeing the same signature over and over and over and over and over and over. And this was something that was talked about a lot in Tarrant County, but also across the state. And I think that particular finding is what resulted in the change to the mail-in ballot laws in 2021. That and, of course, just the 2020 election altogether, which people had significant concerns and worries over. So that, but that kind of started the ball rolling here in Texas when that was found. The gentleman that you're referring to in the video, whether what he's alleging or any part of it, what he's saying is true or not, what he's saying he was able to do is much harder to do today. That video was from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, it was
much
not
harder in Texas today than it would have been back then.
Do you know what the changes were in that they made?
I do. I mean, some of them were you had to have matching signatures. There's codes that are on the envelope that you have to see the code matching the envelope that was sent out to a voter. So they've done some pretty substantial work. You know, I tell people this. People say, well, you got to go to paper ballots. Well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You can cheat in anything.
Right.
And it's kind of like you could come up with 657,000 laws to try to stop speeding, and people are still going to speed. So you want to make sure you do everything you can to catch as many as possible, to deter as many as possible, and to make sure when they're caught, they are punished severely to keep it from happening in the future. And that's really what the Election Integrity Task Force is designed to do. We're not telling people, oh, okay, you know, it'll be foolproof, no problems from this point moving forward, but we're going to go after those who would jeopardize the sanctity of our elections, and when we find them, we will prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, and our district attorney is committed to it and is not messing around.
Well, Governor DeSantis created the first of its kind in the nation Election Crimes Bureau to investigate allegations of election crimes. And that's the only one I know statewide. But I think what you've done actually is even more important, is because voting takes place at the local level. I keep saying to everybody, voting is all local. And if we don't solve the problems at the local level, you can't solve them beyond that. So I just think that what you've done is really amazing. And I'm just wondering, have you had any people from any other parts of the country who've reached out to you to say, hey, have you done this? And maybe we might do the same thing.
Yeah. So there's one county in Texas that I know of that reached out and said, all right, we're going to do the same thing. At this point, because there have been no indictments from the start of the task force, there have been no prosecutions. Now it's just in theory, it's an idea or it's a thing set up to catch the bad people. Once there are indictments, and I'm sure there will be, and once there are prosecutions and guilty verdicts or guilty pleas, we will, of course, release that to every media outlet in the known world and get the message out. And I suspect at that point, many more will follow suit.
Well, honestly, I'm not sure the legislature of Texas shouldn't say that every county should have one of these. Certainly the big six.
Yeah. Well, and there's you probably are familiar with the mess in this November election with Harris County.
Oh, gosh. The primary and the general.
Yeah. So there are multiple bills in the Texas legislature probably being debated as we speak designed specifically to address shenanigans in Harris County, including abolishing the Elections Administration Department altogether.
Oh, so wow.
That is a bill that I think is actually, there's a hearing on today, or it might have even been last night, late last night. So there's a lot of measures that are being taken or bills that have been filed that are going to try to address some of these things. But, you know, I say this to people. It's, I mean, who would be against secure and fair elections? No one should be opposed to this. And, you know, while it may be President Trump that made it so loud and made people see it so much during that election, but it's every election, whoever loses claims that it's cheating and not fair. And, you know, it's the Russian hoax and it's this, you know, all these different things. At the end of the day, we should all, as Americans, this is one thing we should all agree on, regardless of the party, regardless of whether you're political. We should all agree that our elections should be fair and secure, and that people can trust that their vote is going to count. And that is, I mean, that's a pretty simple concept that we should all get behind.
Well, I agree with that. And I've said this for a long time. I wrote an article about it a couple of years ago. The only people who, to me, who can oppose what you just said are people who want to cheat.
Or who want others to cheat, yeah.
Or who want others. Well, right. Or they hope that somebody can manipulate the system. You know, and I just always say, you have to be able to trust that the outcome is honest. That everybody who was eligible to vote got the opportunity to vote, and that their ballot counted, but just once. Just one time.
That's right. And you know, here today, we have in Texas, I think we vote for about a month.
Yes.
With the mail-in ballots and with early voting and voting day.
Yes.
I mean, it stretches out for over a long period of time. If you want to vote today, you can vote. I mean,
that's right. And, you know, I will tell you something that I've been talking to some people on Capitol Hill, and I don't think we've done enough of this, but since I've been really focused on this the last couple of years and really studying the different statutes and procedures in the states as to how mail-in voting works, honestly, I think if we ever ripped off the cover and looked at how it really works, I don't think people would ever vote by mail again. Because I just read an article from Nevada, some analysis of Nevada's all-mail voting. It just came out yesterday, and they passed a law that an absentee ballot has to be sent to everybody on the voter rolls. Okay. So let's start with that. So you've got these live ballots going out to everybody on the voter rolls. And I know I've seen videos by one organization that published it in about August of 2020. Here are some addresses on the voter rolls. And then there's a Keno parlor, there's a vacant lot, and all of those addresses are receiving live ballots. And then you have the situation where people talk, you mentioned people saying they want all paper ballots. Well, if anybody knew the problems with some of the paper ballots, where you mail back in a ballot, you have no idea whether your vote gets counted or not, because you have these adjudications where people sit down and try to discern who you intended to vote for. So your ballot is being judged and adjudicated by perfect strangers. And all over the country, you have ballots that are rejected because they can't be deciphered, or you have partisans who are deciding who you voted for. I just think if people knew what was going on, if they're mailing in a ballot, and I have one friend who says, well, just let me put it this way. If you won the lottery, would you mail in your winning ticket?
that's a great way to describe it. You know, with the mail-in ballots, I mean, it's the original concept started with overseas military,
mm-hmm.
and then it extended to people who were disabled or sick. Well, now it's anybody, and it's
right.
open for weeks. And
right.
My belief is it should be clawed back. A vote, I mean, you know, there's even a movement out there in some of the states to make all voting electronic.
Oh, I mean, my.
We're talking about not having confidence in the security of an election when it all goes electronic. So we got to stop that at all costs. And voting shouldn't just be, I can press a button from my computer at home. It's not trustworthy. It's not reliable. It never will be. And there ought to require some action to actually go vote. And you hope people that go vote are informed.
Well, you know, that's the other thing, too. the election codes over the last century have built in some protections to people. You mentioned at a polling place where people are campaigning inside the area where they're not supposed to be. But there were all of these protections that were put in place in the laws all over the country like that, that people are guaranteed to have the right to cast their secret ballot and not be pressured by politicking while they're trying to vote, and undue influence and all of that. When you go, I call that supervised voting, and you're protected. You're voting under supervision, and you're protected. But when you are not, when you're able to vote outside of those supervision, that supervision, well, then you have a situation like that young man described on that video, where people are signing ballots, but they don't really realize it, and you have all kinds of ways that people can manipulate someone's, you know, an abusive spouse can say, you know, I'm going to vote your ballot too. I mean, there are all kinds of things that can happen. And I just don't think we've talked about that enough as a nation. It just kind of came in while we were doing other things. And now we woke up one day and said, hey, what happened to our election system? Now we have election season. We don't have election day anymore. We have election season.
That's right. I agree with you. Well put.
So, well, look, I mean, I just have to say that what you're doing is really important. And I just want to congratulate you. I wanted to meet you by video anyway, and talk to you because, and I would like for you to convey to your two other officials, your county sheriff and your DA, that what you're doing is really important. It places a value on every voter and a value on every ballot to protect each of those. And gosh, I think that that's so important, because the worst thing that can happen in our country is for people to decide that it doesn't matter how, if they vote or not, because it's going to be manipulated and that's they don't exactly really right. have a voice.
And that may be the biggest concern next to cheating and getting the wrong person in. You know, our Sheriff Bill Wayburn and DA Phil Sorrells are really the ones that deserve the credit. I helped formulate the idea, but I'm just here in a support role, and I support it 100%. But they deserve the credit, and we want people to know in Texas and throughout the country, and certainly in Tarrant County, voter fraud in Tarrant County will not, under any circumstances, be tolerated, and we will punish wrongdoers to the fullest extent of the law without hesitation.
Do you have a website that describes this task force or something, or if people wanted to go and read more about it? Do you have anything like that?
No, I don't believe there is a website at this point for it. On our elections website, we have the hotline, the number to call. But no, there's not a website that describes it at this point.
Well, I think that... I want to help get the word out about what you're doing, because I think it's a good example for everybody. And I may need you guys to come and train some other officials as to what you're doing and why. But I do think that it's that kind of thing. This is the kind of, I think, a really good step forward that somebody in position of authority can do to say, we're going to make sure to protect your right to vote. And I love that.
Yeah, I think the sheriff and DA would be happy to visit with anyone from anywhere in the country to tell them how they've set it up and how they can do the same thing in their area.
Well, that would be wonderful. Well, look, I mean, we are all about election integrity and protecting our election system, restoring confidence in it. And I just, the moment I saw that, I thought, Well, I'm from Oklahoma City, and I've always kind of identified with Fort Worth. There's kind of a Dallas and Fort Worth thing going on in Texas, and there's a Tulsa, Oklahoma City thing going on in Oklahoma.
Well, Fort Worth, just begins. So.
So anyway, well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, Judge. You're a real hero, and you're setting a good example, and I want others to follow your example. That's why I wanted to talk to you. We appreciate your spending time with us and telling you what you're doing.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Cleta.
All right. Thank you. That's our episode for this week of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. We hope that you will share this episode. We hope that you'll subscribe, and we hope you'll participate. Go to our website, whoscounting.us. Download the Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure. Get involved. Watch our training videos. There's a lot to do for Americans to help save our election system, and we appreciate your spending time with us. And with that, we'll say goodbye until next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell, the podcast about America's elections. Please help us fight big tech censorship. Like and subscribe to this podcast and be sure to share it with your friends. You can become part of this election integrity movement by signing up to join the Election Integrity Network. Go to whoscounting.us. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Election Integrity Network.